produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again, and I look forward to our program for today. As all of us know, every day can be a challenge, but every day can bring great blessings. And certainly, as I look back over the last week, we have seen both. But it has been a good week, a great week, and I'm looking forward to another great week coming up. On July 24th, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints celebrate what is called Pioneer Day. And this has actually become a state holiday in the state of Utah. And the tradition for Pioneer Day goes back to events that occurred when the Latter-day Saints literally were having to remove themselves from Nauvoo, Illinois, where once again, after having been chased, if you will, out of Ohio and into Missouri with an extermination order, they then went to Nauvoo, Illinois. And after the martyrdom of the prophet Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram in the Carthage jail there in Illinois, persecution and things occurred that caused the Latter-day Saints to leave the beautiful city, beautiful Nauvoo, and to move west. And this occurred under the direction of the prophet Brigham Young, who at the time was serving as the president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, later being sustained as the president of the church. Now, many have likened this great exodus to the west as a Brigham Young as being like a modern day Moses who led the Israelites out of bondage from Egypt. We'll talk a little bit about that. I'm going to share some comments from one of our apostles, Elder M. Russell Ballard, and talk a little bit about this thing we call Pioneer Day. But I'm going to talk about pioneers of the past and modern-day pioneers. So, 173 years ago, in July of 1847, Brigham Young looked across the Salt Lake Valley for the first time and declared, quote, "This is the right place," close quote. He knew the place because the Lord had revealed it to him in a vision. By 1869, more than 70,000 Latter-day Saints had made a similar trek, despite their many differences in language, culture, and nationality. They shared a testimony of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost and of the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they had a desire to build Zion, a place of peace, happiness, and beauty in preparation the second coming of the Savior. Among those first saints to arrive in Utah was a individual by the name of Jane Manning James. She was the daughter of a freed slave. She was a convert to the restored church and a most remarkable disciple who faced difficult challenges. Sister James remained a faithful Latter-day Saint until her death in 1908. And just a little background about her. She was born in somewhere around in 1822. There's some question about the exact date of birth. She's fondly referred to as Aunt Jane. And she is one of the first recorded African-American women to enter Utah. Now, in the fall of 1842, well, let me back up. In her growing up, she was born in Wilton, Connecticut, and she was baptized into the Presbyterian Church when she was about 14 years old. In the fall of 1842, two Latter-day Saint missionaries were preaching in the area. And although forbidden by her Presbyterian preacher, she recorded in her journal that, quote, "She had a desire to hear them. I went on a Sunday and was fully convinced that it was the true gospel." He was baptized the following Sunday. A year later, She and eight other members of her family, including her mother, three brothers, two sisters, and a brother and sister-in-law, decided to move from their home in Wilton, Connecticut, to Nauvoo, Illinois, where the saints were gathering, in order to live among other members of her new faith. So this little group of nine began their journey with other Latter-day Saints under the direction of Charles Wesley Wandell. But they got separated from the group at Buffalo, New York, when they couldn't afford to pay the train fare from New York to Ohio. She and her family traveled the remainder of their journey, approximately 800 miles on foot. She recorded in 1893, she said, quote, "We walked until our shoes were worn out and our feet became sore and cracked open and bled until you could see the whole print of our feet with blood on the ground." When she and her family arrived in Nauvoo, they were welcomed by Joseph Smith himself. And over the next year, her mother and siblings would establish their own homes. But she, however, lived with the Joseph Smith family in Nauvoo until his martyrdom in 1844. Quite a remarkable lady. In a journal entry that she had, she wrote, "I want to say right here that my faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ as taught by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is as strong today, nay, it is, if possible, stronger than it was the day I was first baptized. I pay my tithes and offerings, keep the word of wisdom, I go to bed early and rise early. I try in my feeble way to set a good example to all." Elder Ballard goes on to say, "Sister James, like so many other Latter-day Saints, not only built Zion with blood, sweat, and tears, but also sought the Lord's blessing through living gospel principles as best she could while holding on in faith to Jesus Christ, the great healer to all who sincerely seek him. The early saints were not perfect, but they established the foundation upon which we are building families and a society that love and keep covenants, which is highlighted in various news stories around the world because of our commitment to Jesus Christ and our volunteer efforts to help those nearby and far away." Elder Ballard says, "I have a deep conviction that if we lose our ties to those who have gone before us, including our pioneer forefathers and mothers, we will lose a very precious treasure. I have spoken about faith in every footstep in the past and will continue in the future because I know that rising generations must have the same kind of faith that the early saints had in the Lord Jesus Christ and his restored gospel. Although it's appropriate and important to remember the historic 19th century Mormon pioneer trek, we need to remember that the trek through life continues for each of us as we prove our own faith in every footstep. New converts no longer gather in pioneer settlements in the western United States. Instead, converts gather to their local congregations where the saints worship our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. With more than 30,000 congregations established around the world, all are gathered to their own Zion. As the scriptures note, for this is Zion, the pure in heart. As we walk the road of life, we are tested to see if we will observe to do all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded. Many of us are on on amazing journeys of discovery, leading to personal fulfillment and spiritual enlightenment. Some of us, however, are on a trek that leads to sorrow, sin, anguish, and despair. In this context, Elder Ballard asks, ask yourself, what is your final destination? Where are your footsteps taking you? And is your journey leading you to that multiplicity of blessings the Savior has promised? A trek back to Heavenly Father is the most important trek of our lives. And it continues each day, each week, each month, and each year as we increase our faith in Him and in His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. We must be careful where our footsteps in life take us. We must be watchful and heed the counsel of Jesus to His disciples as He answered these questions. Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of Thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man, and Elder Ballard added, or woman, deceive you. For our pioneer ancestors, independence and self-reliance were vital, but their sense of community was just as important. They worked together and helped one another overcome the physical and emotional challenges of their time. Elder Ballard encourages us to stay on the gospel path by having, quote, faith in every footstep, so you can return safely back to the presence of Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is our precious Savior. He is the Redeemer of the world. We must honor His sacred name and not misuse it in any way, always striving to keep His commandments. If we do so, He will bless us and lead us safely home. He says, I invite everyone within the sound of my voice to welcome and embrace anyone who's making his or her own trek today, no matter where they are in their journey. Please remember, there is no blessing anyone can share greater than the message of the restoration, which, when received and lived, promises everlasting joy and peace, even eternal life. Let us use our energy, strength, and testimonies in assisting our missionaries to find, teach, and baptize God's children so they may have the power of the gospel doctrine guiding their daily lives. We need to embrace God's children compassionately and eliminate any prejudice, including racism, sexism, and nationalism. Let it be said that we truly believe the blessings of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ are for every child of God. And by the way, this was a talk given by Elder Ballard in October of 2017, almost 3 years ago. He concludes by saying, I testify that the trek continues. I invite you to stay on the gospel path as you continue pressing forward by reaching out to all of God's children in love and compassion, that we may unitedly make our hearts pure and our hands clean to receive the multiplicity of blessings awaiting all who truly love our Heavenly Father and His beloved Son. As we reflect upon pioneers of the past and our opportunity to grow and develop and to return on our own personal trek, hopefully to return back to our Father in Heaven, I'd like to kind of shift gears a little bit and talk for a moment about modern day pioneers. A few years ago, I had a very unique experience. Within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, there are many modern day pioneers. Isaac Thomas, a man I know, respect, and love, is truly one of those today. His conversion story is inspiring and is well documented in an article, which I will put a link to on the Facebook post for this message. My wife and I joined the church in May of 1975 in Louisville, Kentucky. I was aware of the priesthood restriction and was told there were black members in the church, even though there were none in any of the congregations in our area, wards, or branches in our state. The first black Latter-day Saint that I met was Isaac Thomas in June of 1978, just 2 days before the public announcement of the lifting of the priesthood restriction. On June 7, 1978, the BYU Young Ambassadors provided one of their musical performances in Louisville, Kentucky. We were greatly blessed that evening, not only by the performance, but what transpired afterwards. We had volunteered to house two of the performers in our home that night, and as circumstance would have it, among the entire BYU Young Ambassador cast, there was only one Black performer, Isaac Thomas, and he was assigned to stay with us. Looking back now, I see this as one of those tender mercies of the Lord experiences that bless us in simple and sometimes profound ways. As I mentioned earlier, we had become members of the church 3 years earlier, and Isaac was the first Latter-day Saint member of African descent that we had met. As he was in our home that evening, needless to say, I had many questions for him regarding his joining the church. When he shared that shortly before his baptism, he was made aware that he would not be ordained to the priesthood, I asked him how he felt about that. What he said next, and the spirit I felt as he spoke, were truly amazing. He said, quote, "I had a testimony that I knew that the Church of Jesus Christ had been restored, that Joseph Smith was the prophet of the restoration, that the Book of Mormon was truly inspired scripture, and that the priesthood of God had been restored, and that it did not matter to me whether I could hold the priesthood, but that I could enjoy the blessings of the priesthood." Close quote. The next day, after driving Isaac and his fellow ambassador to the church so they could board the bus to their next destination, I found myself in deep thought and contemplation regarding the priesthood restriction, and quite frankly felt that the testimony Isaac had shared was the most compelling of any I had ever heard from a member, and that if there was ever a man who could honor the priesthood, he certainly could. What I'm about to state now, I have rarely shared with others. As that day progressed, I was blessed with one of the most profound spiritual experiences of my life. The Spirit bore witness to me that I need not be troubled by Isaac's status because he would receive the priesthood. My first response was a calm feeling and a sense of joy. However, as I was then concerned as to how was it possible for me to receive this personal revelation when obviously I had no authority to presume so. The very next day, June 9, 1978, after returning home from work, I heard the news flash on the radio, quote, "From Salt Lake City, Utah, President Spencer W. Kimball of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has announced that all worthy male members of the church are now eligible to receive the priesthood." Close quote. As I heard those words, my heart was filled with joy, and I literally jumped into the air with exuberant happiness. I was also overwhelmed and humbled with the realization that Heavenly Father had blessed me with such a profound personal witness of His revelation to His prophet and apostles. On Pioneer Day weekend of July 1978, Isaac Thomas was ordained to the priesthood in a room overflowing with people who had all loved and sustained him throughout his time in the church. On June 15, 1979, a year later, Claudia and Isaac Thomas became the first Black couple to be sealed in the Salt Lake City Temple. Shortly after, it was so wonderful to see on the front page of the church news, Isaac and his bride dressed in white standing on the steps of the Salt Lake Temple, having been sealed as husband and wife for time and all eternity. Despite enduring prejudice since and many trials, as well as soul-stretching times in his life, including before the priesthood revelation. In an interview, Thomas echoed a member of the Martin Hancock Company. When other pioneers were explaining the horrors they endured, one member stood up and testified, quote, "It was not so. It was the sweetest time that we had to commune with God." Thomas explained, quote, "I say amen." Thank you, Isaac Thomas, for your testimony, your faith, your courage, and your example. God bless you, my friend, a true modern-day pioneer. There are modern-day pioneers all around us. Having joined the church in 1975, coming from a long line of Baptist ministers, 10 generations, if you will, of ministers. My father was an ordained Baptist minister. My grandfather, Mordecai Ham, was a Baptist evangelist. He was credited with leading Billy Graham to the Lord. My great-grandfather, Dr. John Richard Sampey, who I'm named after, was president of the Southern Baptist denomination for 3 terms and served as president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Louisville, for 13 years and was a professor there for over 60 years. I'm also the multi-generational great-grandson of Roger Williams, who organized the very first Baptist church in America in Providence, Rhode Island. So needless to say, my decision to leave the faith of my fathers was not taken lightly by my family and definitely required me to have a sure testimony of the restored Church of Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned earlier, on May 24th, 1975, my wife and I were baptized. You could say that we were pioneers because we were the first in our family to become members of the church. I applaud all those out there that may be listening who are in their own way a pioneer today. We have, as church members, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, there is a rich heritage of sacrifice that was made by the early saints. We have been given many blessings because of their sacrifices. In that trek out west, it's interesting to note that because of the distance involved, think about pulling a hand cart, walking all the distance. I understand it was approximately 1,300 miles from Nauvoo to the Salt Lake Valley. I did some calculations for an average adult size. There's about 2,200 steps that a person would take in a mile. Doing some calculations, that comes out to 3 million steps a person to walk from Nauvoo, Illinois to the Salt Lake Valley. A lot of walking, a lot of challenges with heat in the summer, freezing temperatures in the winter. Many died along that trek. Many died. Many sacrificed family members. Many had health issues as a result of that travel. But they persevered and they made it. And we are the beneficiaries of their sacrifice. I would like to testify to each of you that I know that in this mortal experience, our ultimate goal is to return to Heavenly Father. We individually, as Elder Ballard talked about, are on our own little journey, our own little trek to return back home, to be with Heavenly Father. It is my earnest hope and prayer that each of us will be reminded of this great legacy of the pioneer spirit and recognize that we in our own way are pioneers today and that we have the opportunity to inspire others and to bring others along with us as we make this journey back to our Father in heaven. I testify of these simple truths and do so in the name of our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.